At Sierra, discover great deals on top brand workout gear, like high-quality walking shoes, which might lead to another discovery.
40,000 steps, baby! Who's on top now, Karen?
You've taken the office step challenge a step too far. Don't worry, though. Sierra also has yoga gear. It might be a good place to find your zen. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Some days call for working up a sweat, working on your passion, and endless action. Ditch the glitch with Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Refreshing flavors like strawberry kiwi and blackberry lemonade. Scientifically formulated to support physical energy, hydration, focus, mood, and social stamina. Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Hydrating energy. Tap the banner to learn more.
Welcome into the Tour Coach, everybody. I'm your host, Tony Ruggiero. It's the start of a new year, 2025. We've been doing the Dew Sweepers Golf Show for almost 20 years, actually right at 20 years, and it's morphed into the Tour Coach podcast from our early XM PGA Tour radio days. And I want to thank you for following along. 2025 is going to be exciting for us. We got a lot of great stuff going on. If you followed along, you know that the Tour Coach is, they're the stories, they're the people, the conversations that I meet, whether they're players, fitness experts, mental coaches, performance coaches, just the people I meet along our journey, whether it's teaching on the PGA, Korn Ferry, LIV Tour, LPGA, Symetra Tours, or college players, but especially down at my home at Old Palm Golf Club in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. These are all the stories and the people that I run into that I think can add some value to your instruction program, help you play the game of golf better. So I hope you enjoy what we got coming. And to kick off the year, we're going to do something special. First of all, we couldn't do the Tour Coach without our longtime sponsors, especially Srixon Cleveland Golf, been with them for over 20 years. Mitch McConnell, Buick GMC, here in Mobile and all over the country. Mitch has been such a huge proponent of us. And you've got our local sponsors, Stokely's Midtown Garden Express, Taylor Martino and Rowan, and you can't forget the folks at Vineyard Vines and Bushnell Golf. And Bushnell's been so instrumental as well in pushing and helping us with a lot of our content. We're going to continue to push out what I think is great content, all designed to help you get better at the game of golf. And so we're going to kick off a contest this year in 2025. It's going to run through the end of January, past the PGA Show. All you have to do is go to one of our Pro Work episodes. The latest one is with Joey Merlino. It's over 130,000 views already, in which Colby and I, we take on the boss and fix the, and become the pivot boss, fix Joey Merlino's golf swing. Go on one of the Pro Work episodes and comment hashtag Pro Work. Hashtag Pro Work for an opportunity to win a new set of the brand new Srixon irons. When they come available, we'll give them away at the end of January. Stay tuned for more details. Check out all our socials at the Dew Sweeper on Instagram, at Dew Sweeper TV on YouTube. Go to Dew Sweeper TV on YouTube, find the latest Pro Work episode, and hashtag Pro Work for an opportunity to win. Appreciate all our sponsors. Appreciate you following along. We've got some great stuff coming in 2025. More live lesson look-ins, more content. Hopefully we help you play better golf. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for being part of this journey.
All right. So joining me here on the Tour Coach, it's been a while since we've had him on. good friend of mine from north of the border. But before, and this is the last one I'm doing. This is New Year's Eve that's being recorded on. So I've got to, other than his contributions to teaching, his contributions to dining are unparalleled. Rob, what the heck do you have planned on? I mean, golf pros that cook, still one of my favorite things. Take me through, what do you have planned for New Year's Eve? I know it's got to be something pretty good.
Well, you're right. I just did a couple of lessons this morning and then scrambled over to a store here in Vancouver that is known for fresh seafood.
Ooh.
And like live seafood. And I picked up a lobster, a whole lobster, and picked up a couple of big cherry stone clams about the size of a baseball, hardball. And what else I got? I got six prawns. I got, and I got a couple of really big oysters. So I'm going to do this Oysters Rockefeller with half a lobster, this clam thing, the prawns, and some kind of a nice garlicky butter sauce, I think. And
oh my gosh.
Got a bottle of champagne ready to go. And just my wife and I, and we'll pig out.
That sounds wonderful. I'm cooking a couple lobster tails, a filet for me. My wife doesn't eat meat. So, and some salmon for her. We've got some asparagus and some twice baked potatoes and a little bottle of champagne and a good bottle of red, and kind of ease the new year in, as we like to do. You know, appreciate you coming on. I know you're crazy busy. Always love following you on Facebook and with the stuff you have going and all your impact over the years with players. First time I'd followed you online for years. First time I got to meet you was at the Open Forum several years back when we both were on a junior development panel there that Nick and Como and those guys had. And from your experience over the years, have you found some common traits or some commonalities when you look at the ones that have come through your program, some of the great players from up north, like where you look, you know, as you get older, you look at it and go like, hey, these guys had, or these girls had some things in common. When you look back on all the great players coming through, what are some of the things you've seen?
That's a great question. Let me say this. There's a lot of commonalities between, between them, but there are also a lot of unique things about them at the same time. So the commonalities that we look for are, number one, are they keen and interested? Like, do they have a passion for doing this? And it doesn't matter. Like, if I'm interviewing a seven-year-old that wants to get into the program, I'm talking to that seven-year-old. I'm not talking to the parent.
And I want
to get a read. I'll ask them some very, very direct questions, probably unlike they've ever been asked before. Mm-hmm. Like, why do you want to be in this program? Do you realize the amount of commitment this is going to take? Are you prepared to do this, 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 and that every day? And are you prepared to promise me that you would work hard and that type of a thing? And if I'm getting a kid that's looking over at his parents like that, back and forth, and I think, okay, well, that's not the end of the world, but I'm looking for the kid that goes, yes, you know, yes, I'm all in. This is what I want. And then I might ask about, what about other sports that you played? Do you play, do you swim? Do you play baseball, hockey,
right,
whatever? And because I want to get an idea about what their coordination might be, you know, the coordination that they've developed at this point.
Right.
Is there anything useful there for golf that I can use to tap into?
Yeah, those are great. I love that.
So I have I think what you're asking is what do I see that Nick Taylor, Adam Svensson, Jisoo Kiel, Michelle Liu, all these, you know, very, very successful players, what do they have? Well, they all have a great work ethic. They all are prepared. They don't mind spending 6 days, even 7 days a week on golf and take care of other business as well. They never seem to get sick of golf. They're always striving to be better. They're pretty much self-motivated that way. They don't need constant pushing because they find something fun about it. And it's competitive. I think it's satisfying for them to see themselves progress. Golf is great that way because if you put time and effort into it today, especially with our technology, you can see measurable gains. Mm-hmm. And so that's very positive reinforcement for someone that's putting a lot of effort into something and versus not feeling like I'm getting enough or anything out of this. And of course, when they start having success, I'll tell you a quick story. When Nick Taylor came to me and I interviewed him, he was almost 15 years old, and he'd only been playing golf for 3 years, started at age 11. So why do you golf? Why did you play golf? He said, well, my older brother, who I also gave lessons to, my older brother keeps coming home with these merchandise things, like golf balls, hats, gloves, you know, prizes, trophies. I thought that was pretty cool. So he picked it up and was just on it. And very, very competitive kid. And, you know, the rest is history. But that was one of the traits. The other trait that he and Adam and Michelle and these really, really good players, they're fiercely competitive. They may not show it on the outside, but on the inside, they hate not winning. They congratulate people. They're very classy, but they're burning inside to win. They want to be the top dog at what they do.
You know, and it seems it's like a, you know, old saying, but it's true. I think those folks almost hate losing more than they like the winning, right? Like, and they, you know, that type of personality, right? Losing drives them crazy. And I can remember that with some of the players I've had. And you know, to me, with those types of athletes, it's a great learning experience with the losses to help educate them and get them to, you know, to understand where to get better. You know, I can remember when Bobby Wyatt lost in the quarterfinals of the USAM at Cherry Hills to Justin Thomas. And I remember the phone conversation afterwards, the things we needed to get better at, chipping and wedges and stuff that he noticed in JT's game at that time. And they had played at college. And so I think that, curious what your thoughts about that, but those that are so driven, it's for us as coaches, it's a great opportunity to use the losses or the failures, if you will, though they're not all failures, to educate and to grow.
Absolutely. Losses and failures, errors are really important to have, because mm-hmm. you won't learn anything if you don't have them.
Right.
Yeah. Like fail. I try and embrace failure. I try and get them to usually, like, after a big tournament and maybe it wasn't a win or maybe something didn't go, like when Nick was lost to Scotty Scheffler in Phoenix the first time, the last mm-hmm. time he won, but the first time he was like so close and he didn't realize how close that mm-hmm. pro shot was on 17. Then it just trickled off the side of the green again. But I mean, it was a brilliant shot in the moment. But I give them 24 to 36 hours before they talk about that stuff. Just mm-hmm. let them absorb it. You know, one thing I don't like is when parents are on a kid, as soon as they've, you know, handed in their scorecard, it starts. And I'm like, no, stop. You know, it's the kid is here for the reason they're in a position to win this golf tournament is because they've worked hard. They're good. They're talented. They have desire. They have drive. They don't need to be reminded about every shot and what they did well and what they didn't do well. They just need to have a little time to absorb it and let them ask. I want them to say, like you just said, I need to get better at chipping, or, you know, I got out of my routine. I want them to reflect and have some input into the direction that they want to go, rather than being told what to do all the time. And, you know, in our business, most of my clients for the last 20 years have been probably under the age of 21, somewhere between 7 and 21 years of age. And I've done a lot of adult teaching, don't get me wrong, but right. I've really focused more on the last 10 or 15 years on junior development, long-term development. And I would typically have 20 to 25 clients. That's it. I had an academy with five teachers, and each one of them had 20, 25 students. But my stable, if you will, would have 20 to 25 people, and I would see them generally two times a week. They would also do fitness at our facility, if necessary, some psychology work. That's another interesting thing, is that these kids that do well are pretty well grounded. They don't have, you know, psychologically, they're pretty healthy people. And they don't carry a lot of baggage around. Most of them can get over, you know, over a failure pretty quickly and move on. You have to be able to do that in competitive golf. If you hit a bad shot, you can't carry it on. You got to, you know, get in the next moment. So part of what we do, what I've tried to do, especially in the last maybe 8 or 10 years, is incorporate the mental training with the physical training. And so that you're gamifying, if you will, some of the practice and trying to make it as realistic as possible, trying to teach them that the mental game is a skill. It's not something that you're born with. It's something that you can learn how to control and learn how to use to your advantage. But when you read books on sports psychology, there's lots of theories and lots of platitudes, and they're all pretty much saying the same thing. But what they seem to lack is, all right, tell me how to do this. Like, give me a step-by-step, how should I do this? Really very simple, isn't it? I mean, it's see it, feel it, trust it, execute it. Okay, well, what exactly does that mean? So I actually go into a lot more detail. I try to do everything. This is getting a little ahead of myself, but I try to do things in threes. So like step one, step two, step three. That's it, three steps. Like you set up your team, you know, your post-analysis, your preparation to hit a shot, three steps. So it's simple, it's easy to remember. But then within those, each of those three elements, there's another three little points. So in other words, let's say the visualization stage, which is the first part. Well, what exactly does that mean? You could ask 10 different people and you'll get 10 different answers on what they think that is. What I'm looking for is, okay, where do I want this ball to land and where do I want this ball to end up? Can you tell me where that ball should hit the green, what it's going to do, and where it's supposed to end up? So that would be the first part. That's the visualizing. Now, what people don't realize is that you're not just talking about seeing something. Then step two is really, really picture the shot so that you can see it. And now you're starting to feel that shot. You're starting to feel that little fade, or you're starting to feel that knockdown, or you're starting to feel how you're going to execute this shot that you think would be the ideal shot. And then, of course, the third step is, did you get out of your way and trust it? What does that mean? And so get them to do a self-analysis after each shot on how well they did those three steps. And we're not giving you points on the outcome. We're giving you points on the process. So for each one of those three items, you have a possible point. For example, if you shoot 70, you have a potential point of 210. And what did you give yourself? Well, I gave myself 56% for that round. So I actually really, really, really did exactly what I wanted to do. And what's amazing is that if you can get somebody that doesn't have that kind of a process to even get 30%, they're going to score lower than they probably ever have. If you can get them up to 70 or 80%, wow, it's like 8 under, right? And it's just a whole, it's basically zone type golf. So that's what I do. It's my deal is, I call it teaching in context. So what you'd say to a 7-year-old is different than a 12-year-old and a 16-year-old and an 18-year-old. And depending on what their background is. So we're constantly having to communicate in a way that the person in front of us actually understands. And that's a really big thing I had a lesson this morning with a kid who I think has a lot of potential. He is 9 years old and we got his path working really well in the last month, but the club face is really closed. And I'm looking at his lead hand and it's really quite strong. And I say, you know, come here for a minute. And I'm sitting in a chair in front of the hitting mat, and I said, come here for a second. And I said, open your hand. So he has this glove in his left hand, and it's a U.S. kid's glove, and it has a black section that goes across the palm and the fingers. And he was taught that this glove, you hold the club there, which basically was holding it in the fingers. And I'm going, dude, like, okay, open your hand up. And I moved it from across the fingers up into the base of the palm and across the base of the fingers into the index finger, pretty standard stuff. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, that feels weird. And I said, I'm not surprised. I said, who told you? He said, well, when they gave him the glove, they gave him the glove to put it there. And I said, well, okay, it's not the way most pros hold a golf club. And so put it in there. But sure enough, in about three swings, the path he got even better. And of course, the face is much square. And he had two things going on. He had a baseball type grip, and then he had a really strong lead hand, and he was releasing the club. His idea of how to release, or what was releasing, was different than mine. And his idea of how to hold the golf club was different than mine. But we had quite a few lessons where this didn't come up. But what shocked me was when he said, well, that's how I'm holding it, because that's what the glove looks like. And I, oh God, okay. So yeah, anyway, that's the story. So yeah, they're the other thing that the kids have in common is they have support. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of support from their family. They have support in some cases from their school, because they're in a highly athletic activity outside of school. So in other words, they get time, they have money. All of these pretty much 95% of all these juniors that have had for a long, long time, they're not suffering for money, and
makes it easier.
That's a truth. It's a reality. It costs a lot of money to fly down to the United States a couple of times a month for golf tournaments. It costs money for equipment, lessons, green fees, practice balls. You know, it's a fairly big item for most people.
No question about it.
Yeah. And I've done a lot of pro bono stuff.
Yeah.
That's the reality. And I don't know. The game has become pretty specialized.
There's a reason Chevy trucks are known for their dependability, because they show up no matter the weather, push forward no matter the terrain, and deliver. That's why Chevrolet has earned more dependability awards for trucks than any other brand in 2025, according to J.D. Power. Because in every Chevy truck, like every Chevy driver, dependability comes standard. Visit Chevy.com to learn more. Chevrolet received the highest total number of awards among all the trucks in the J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study. Awards based on 2022 models. Newer models may be shown. Visit jdpower.com/awards for more details. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
Popsicles, sprinklers, a cool breeze. Talk about refreshing. You know what else is refreshing this summer? A brand new phone with Verizon. Yep, get a new phone on any plan with Select Phone Trade-In and My Plan. And lock down a low price for 3 years on any plan with My Plan. This is a deal for everyone, whether you're a new or existing customer. Swing by Verizon today for our best phone deals. 3-year price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate only. Additional terms and conditions apply for all offers.
Want the same expert advice you get from the pros in the store while shopping online at DiscountTire.com? Meet Treadwell, your personal online tire guide that matches you with the perfect tire for your vehicle. Get your best match in 1 minute or less with Treadwell by Discount Tire. Let's get you taken care of.
Your sausage McMuffin with egg didn't change. Your receipt did. The sausage McMuffin with egg extra value meal includes a hash brown and a small coffee for just $5. Only at McDonald's for a limited time.
Prices and participation may vary.
And our end, too. Teachers have become specialized, too. Don't you agree, over the last, 10, 15 years in particular?
Yeah, I see a great parallel between elite golfers and elite coaches, in that they're always constantly striving to work better, be better, be better. What can I learn? What's another tool I can put in my bag? They're always trying to sharpen the blade a bit and be better. And I'm also, you know, we're competitive in our own communities.
Yes.
It's no different than a high school football team. I want to, my team to be better than your team. And so as we mature and things are okay and we've got our fair share of the pie, we chill out and mellow out a bit. But in the beginning, you're pretty competitive. You want your students to go in and do a good showing. Most of the business I got along the way came from the results of the students in tournaments. So this kid comes out of nowhere and sweeps the tournament, and parents are going, "What? How's that happening?" And sooner or later, they start coming around and they start getting a taste of a different type of instruction, perhaps, that's more, that's like when I take you in, when I agree to take you on, it's no different than adopting a kid. It's you're more or less family, and I'm all in, and that's what I think parents want, and that's what the kids need. And I'm not just there to collect some money and lean on my five iron and watch them. And
we've got too much of that. We've had too many of that.
Yeah. So I don't know, you got some more questions?
Yeah.
I don't have any problem talking.
No, you're awesome. That's why I wanted to have you on. When you get one of these players, I always like to ask people about the process they go through. And again, I think the greatest part about this podcast for me is I have the opportunity every week to talk with somebody that's great at what they do. I'm always trying to learn, you know, and get better and become decent at what I do. And when you start with one of these players, where do you start? Like, what do you look at first? Like, what are, you know, you've taken a player into your program, regardless of age. Like, where do you start? Do you have a place you always look first? Or, I mean, you know, what if I come to see you and I got a chance to be really good, where are you going to start with me other than tell me to lose some weight, get more flexible?
Okay. Well, the first thing, after I've had a nice little chat, get to know you a little bit, is I just want to see you hit some shots. And mm-hmm. I want to get an idea of what your motion looks like. And I call this the gap. Mm-hmm. So the gap is where I think you are right now versus where I see you being fairly soon, fairly in the short term and in the midterm and in the long term. So let's say it's a girl. Let's say she's 14 years old. She's been playing golf competitively for 4 years. She's not quite getting it done. She's shooting maybe high 70s, and she doesn't hit it as far as she could. And I watch her swing, and I can see potential. I can see versus someone who comes in who's got an amazing swing and shooting maybe higher numbers. So that's a whole different problem, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe they don't realize how good it is, but there's something mentally blocking them from getting to that next level. So it depends on the individual. We can add things up fairly easily. Like you have a lot of experience. You know what a decent swing looks like. You can see the numbers on your TrackMan. You can see it on video. The story is there. You know, are they compressing the ball? Do they even know how to compress the ball? Are their hands behind? Are their hands ahead? Too far ahead? Whatever. But I just do that. And then if I see something that's pretty obvious, perhaps, I might say, "Would you mind trying this?" And I might show them something. I said, "Would you just mind trying to do that? And in your mind, I want you to feel or think you're doing this to the golf ball," as opposed to, like, I might say, "By any chance, do you think that you're trying to help the golf ball get in the air?" And like, say they're hitting a 7 iron or an 8 iron. And sometimes they'll say, "Yeah." So I thought so. That's why you're sweeping the ball and you're coming a lot from the inside. You have a very shallow attack. You're not really compressing it. And I'll say, "Let me show you something. Your club head speed is 72 miles an hour with this 7 iron. Your club head speed is 68 miles an hour with this 7 iron. And let's say that your ball is carrying 119. Now I'm going to borrow your club. I'm going to swing it at the same speed that you're swinging it. And you can tell me why it's going 16 yards farther."
Yeah.
And so you have the speed, But you doubt applying speed to the golf ball in the correct manner. So we start there. And then usually you see it, I'm sure, but you get the aha moment, the wow moment, oh my God moment. And that's the start of a bond with the teacher. And like, we came to the right place. Like I'm already feeling, I'm feeling like this is the stuff I needed. And it's so frustrating. I've been asking for 2 years, why isn't my ball go as far as the people I'm playing with? And I know I'm as strong as they are. And it's just understanding. So the concepts and like hitting down on the golf ball. Like I tell them, you think you're hitting down on the ball. The ball's left the club face before the club's even hit the ground. Hopefully you're not hitting the ground behind the ball.
Yeah, right.
And then why does that happen? So that's kind of how the first thing will go. And then I'll ask about fitness, and I'll give them, depending on the player, I might do what I call a screen. I have some little tests I've invented along the way, like maybe taking an alignment stick and seeing how fast they can swing it with their trail hand. And is the arm out, is the arm out straight and they're like this, or do they have some snap to it and whip to it? What do they know about, throwing things and creating some speed? And if they don't know, then I start there. I start with improving their coordination and their understanding of how to move faster, how to move the hands and the arms correctly, in sync with the body. Just stuff that, a person can look pretty good, but there's nobody home. Like they're not quite connecting all the dots. And I think the other thing is that one of the reasons I help them with their success is that I do go into a fair amount of detail with them. I don't treat them like they're kids, and I don't treat them like they're idiots. I give them the opportunity at least to try and absorb and understand hopefully in age appropriate bite-sized pieces. Right. But I think most of the kids I teach really respond well to that. They feel like they're learning inside secrets. They're getting. Yeah.
I think there's this, like you get same deal. Like I'll have kids that have come from various places or whatever. And, maybe they haven't achieved or they're not developing or whatever it is. And you'll sit and you'll explain kind of what's going on. This is why you're not X, Y, or Z. And most of the time, they're really excited. Like, I'm not crazy technical, but we get down and explain what's going on. And they're very excited to find out the why things are happening and to understand it. Whereas where they've been going, it's like there's an assumption that this person's a kid and they don't need to know it or they won't understand it, right? Like, oh, because they're 12 or they're 15 or they're 20, but I don't, and they're whatever they are, they won't understand it. I think, based on how your personality and how you are, you've got to be able to relay the information and be honest with them and sit down and show them what the hell is going on. And I think I agree with you. I think that the player, regardless of age, appreciates that and respects your ability to do that. And I think that helps them buy in, which I think is important for long-term growth.
Yeah. You'll see, as a coach, I'm now in my 30th year of doing this. And I feel like I'm getting better. Mm-hmm. Literally every month I get better at this and I become a better listener. I become a better communicator. I would guesstimate in an hour lesson, I probably say 10% of the amount of words that I would have said 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is great shot, good swing, kind of feedback. And and how did you feel about that one? And that was thin, or that was fat, or it felt like it was off the heel. Okay, how will we adjust that? Mm-hmm. So what would you do? If I wasn't here, what would you do? If you did that in a tournament, what would you do on the next swing or the next shot? And they understand a lot of this comes down to a good discipline setup, paying attention to detail. They have no idea. The people that you teach on tour, they have no idea how precise those people
Correct.
Are. And I try to teach them that. I try to let them know that this is serious business. This is mm-hmm. not easy. You know, this is.
That's the big difference. Yeah.
And put tape on their club face and say, you know, this is the goal. I want you to be able to hit 10 shots and keep it inside that circle. And they look at you like, is that possible? Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. It may not be when you're 7 or 8 years old. Right. But when you're 13 or 14, yeah, damn right. It should be possible. If there isn't, then you're not stable enough or you're not, right. You know, and so, you know, there's, I think, what is interesting is also you need a lot of patience. They do. I told this little boy today that, you know, this is really, really a difficult game. Every professional athlete, every really high level athlete I've ever met, including myself, is taking this game up, finds it very, very difficult to try and master. And you need to be your own best friend. I said, you got to look at when you don't hit a shot well, you're going to try and figure out why, and you're going to try and hit the next one better. And it's a constant process. And you'll learn you don't need to be perfect. You can play some pretty good scores, put some good scores up, and feel like you didn't hit the ball well for most of the round. That's a whole different subject. But
right. But yeah, that's a big one. And when they figure that out, it's when you got a good one, right? I mean, you know, I have a longtime student of mine. He's becoming a teacher now, played on tour, Zach Sucker. And he said something one time in a lesson. He said he had gone and he had played the first few Corn Ferry events of the year, right? You know, and I said, well, how have you played? He said, well, my score's been worse than I've hit it. And he said, my goal is by the time I go back out to get where my score is better than I hit it. When I do that, I know I'm playing golf, right? Like he, you know, and, you know, I thought of it, I mean, that's pretty damn simple, but that's really what you're trying to do, you know?
Yeah. So talking about that, here's an interesting thing. If I have a kid that, or even an adult, that isn't scoring to their potential, what I like to do is I like to go play 9 holes with them. And I play a little game. One of the games, I have a few games, but one of the games I play is we'll get in a golf cart and we'll drive up to 130 yards on the hole out, drop a ball and have them hit it to the green. And then I'll come up to 100 yards and drop another ball and have them hit that to the green. And then they have to finish out each hole. So we do 18 holes. In essence, in 9, and see what they score. Normally they score like around 2 over, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at them like, how do you shoot 84 or 82 when you go out to play? If you know, on the other hand, I've had kids go out and you realize right away that they have no idea. Like they have, you know, they have decent golf swings, but, you know, you just hit this shot from 130 yards to the front of the green. You're 5 yards short. You've got 15 paces to the flag, and you haven't even walked up in the green and looked at this, where you want to chip it, where you want to land it. Like, you're not thinking about sinking it or getting it closer. You're just standing out there and guessing. You're not doing enough homework to really ensure that you save this par or maybe even make a birdie.
Right.
And so, like, that could be part of it. I've had kids that could hit, you know, sand wedges 95 or 100 yards, which I don't like personally, and they can't hit the green with it. And you know, from 95 yards, like, I want to kill myself if I ever missed a sand wedge, right? Anyway, this is basic stuff, and
yeah.
So teaching them how to score, and like, here's another thing: with parents are going to watch this or. Like say you have a 5-year-old and you say, well, what do you do with a 5-year-old? Well, normally I don't take them on. I have, in the past, but this is like after, watching them, but what would I do if it was my own kid? I would start on the green. I would start literally, and yeah. I'm not kidding when I say this, a foot from the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the kid, they would either be rolling the ball into the hole with their hand or trying to throw the ball into the hole with the hand, or they would be had a little putter and we'd be trying to putt it. And what I'm going to tell them first is that you see this liner on the back of the cup here, and I would point to it. So I want the ball to hit that liner. I want it to make this rattling sound like a good solid putt. And, you know, the little guys are going to whack it and it's going to go right over the hole. And then they're going to slow it down and it's going to dribble it. And we're just going to keep going until we can sort of get some pace going and get that ball going. Then we'll go back to 2 feet. We'll go back to 3 feet. We'll go back to 6 feet. And then we'll start to draw it. Like what I'll do is put a string down on the ground, two tees with a string across the front of the hole. And I say, okay, we'll play a little game. And the game is that every putt you hit needs to go past this string. So at least they have a chance to fall in front of the hole. And we don't want it going more than 2 feet past from 10 feet. So you're going to get points for every ball that ends up in that range. And you're going to get 2 points for everyone that goes in the hole. And you lose 2 points for everyone that doesn't make it to the string. Mm-hmm. And then we'll do 10 shots and we'll see what you can score. And so they do it. And let's say they score 4 points. You know, they're a little kid, maybe first day on the job. And some kids will go, let me try again. Let me do this again. Okay, let's do it again. And the kid, you can see that they think this is fun and they want to see if they can do better. And anyway, my theory is that this is a game of scoring. And if you're coming to me and you're coming for lessons from me, then you must have an interest in seeing how well you can do. Mm-hmm. I don't care if really, obviously I want you to play competitive golf, and I'm sure your family wants you to play competitive golf, but I really mostly want you to enjoy it.
Yeah, right.
And have fun with it, make it your game and do it for your reasons. So the progression goes like this. All right, you've learned now from, we've gone from 2 feet, we've gone back to 20 feet. You understand the game is to get the ball in the hole and two strokes through here. Now, par for a five-year-old could be from 20 feet to the hole. You have three shots to get in the hole. Mm-hmm. That's good. If you've had, now you've had, say, 6 weeks, 8 weeks of lessons, you had some experience, hopefully you're doing some practicing, we change this so that we go to the edge of the green, maybe on the fringe of the green, pick a hole, and you have three shots to get in the hole. That's a par. If you can get it really close in the first one and you make two, that's a birdie, and that's under par. And we keep gamifying this whole process so that they can go around to do 9 or 18 holes and there's a legitimate score on putting. The next step, what do you think? Yes, we go off the green, maybe 5 paces, 6 paces, and we introduce maybe a pitching wedge or maybe a sand wedge, and they learn to hit the ball onto the green, and then the same game continues in putting. So right from the beginning, they see golf as a game of scoring and they're learning short game first. As we go back to 40, 50, 60 yards with, you know, say as a 12-year-old or 13-year-old at this point, we'll go back. It's a perfect opportunity. I believe that most of the really good swing fundamentals can be seen and observed, you know, on a 40 to 60 yard wedge shot. Mm-hmm. Weight, you know, there's weight shift.
Yes.
Yeah. So teaching them how to control that swing is on plane, the balance is good, they're not exerting too much effort, they learn how to get the ball on the green, sometimes get it close, sometimes one putt. Well, that's like an eagle. And anyway, with this kid, I won't take up all your time, but that literally works all the way back to a par five.
Yeah.
And when you're 100 yards from the green now, this is the goal. Get it on the green, get it down in two, maybe one, hopefully never three. But then when you help them understand the strategy, which is, you know, really important. They don't think. You watch them play. You go out and you watch them play in tournaments, and like they get on maybe a 340-yard par four, and they're hitting driver into a narrow area instead of like, come on, you hit your three wood 200 yards. You know, you can stay short of the trouble, and you can, you have no problem getting the green.
How to think your way around.
Yeah. And so risk, learning when to take risks and learning when not to, just that's it. So we're going to talk about coaching a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to wrap that up with just a brief anecdote. It reminded me a great deal of my idol growing up was Ben Crenshaw. And I had the opportunity to put him on the radio way back. This was 15 years ago or 17 years ago. And I was heavily into developing junior golf at the time. It was what I wanted to do. And I said, you know, basically, where would you start with a kid? Where did Harvey start or whatever? And I'll never forget, you know, he paused. He always takes his time and gives you a thought-filled answer. And he said, I would start at the green and putt, and then I'd go to chipping and have them learn to, and he said, because the only way to take a 5 and make it a 4 or a 3 and make it a 2 is with a wedge and a putter. And he was like, that's how I would start everybody. But that, you know, as you were going through the progression and the story of that, it reminded me of that. I mean, you know, and I mean, there's one of the great players, and I think that there's a lot to that.
Yeah, I think if we go out to 50 yards out, mm-hmm. and you can't have some consistency like with a half swing.
Yeah.
What the hell are we doing?
Correct. No question.
Where is the problem here? And mm-hmm.
You can't control it from 50 yards. You're not going to control it from 250. So last question.
To that point, that's kind of how I assess when I first meet like a teenager that's been playing for a while. I go through this like, okay, tell me about your putting. Tell me about your chipping. Tell me about, kind of work it back to the tee box. Where's the weakness? Mm-hmm. And they'll usually tell you, you know, my driver sucks or, my irons aren't very accurate. And okay, so we'll start there and figure it out. And go ahead.
So last question here, won't keep you all day. So transition this to teaching and coaching. I know you've got some stuff on the board you're thinking of and you're working on. Talk a little bit about how this transfers over to helping coaches and teachers.
What I'm doing? Or
yes, what you're doing. What you're doing. What do you have going? What do you have cooking other than the fabulous dinner?
Okay, so for a while, and I'll be very honest, it's been difficult. Like last year, I sold my business actually two times in the last 3 years. I sold my big business, and then I could basically cash out, but I set up a studio with two indoor bays, two outdoor bays at a driving range, invested the money to build it, and obviously had equipment left over from the bigger place, and it's great. And so I found the right person to take that business over, and I'm teaching 10 to 12 hours a week now. I enjoy that. Go to the gym. I have more time, but I have kind of too much time. I'm going crazy. So I've been working really hard on trying to put a book together. The book is directed for primarily in three areas. There's a golf parent, the player, and the coach. Mm-hmm. And it's like a manual of sorts for a golf parent. You want to be like, we talked about how expensive this game is. The reality is that with the experience I have, you bring your kid in there within the first 5 minutes, I know what we need to work on. I know how this kid needs to work on it for the next, not just the next hour, but the next 6 hours, mm-hmm. to ingrain this and get better at it. You don't need to pay somebody $200-$300 an hour to stand there and babysit.
Right.
So what I do, what I've always done, and a lot of coaches don't like it, but I've always tried, when the parents mm-hmm. there, they want to be involved, then all right, we're going to get you involved. And we're going to educate you on what exactly is going on here, what exactly you're looking for. I don't want them looking at YouTube all the time and coming in and saying, well, what about this and what about that?
Right, right.
Exactly. That's a red flag for me, a big red flag. And because it's rarely in context to the needs of the person. Right? They think, you know, what Tiger Woods is doing, everybody should be doing. Not so, not so. And it's not that the information is always bad. It's just the wrong time to introduce it. And right. It doesn't have context to this kid. They don't have the experience or the coordination or the prerequisites to use it. So anyway, there'll be practical exercises. Like, this is how you set up a short game station and practice. The book is broken down into area from 5 to 8 years old, 9 to 12 years old, 13 to 16 years old, and 17 to 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So same instructions, same goal, but said 5 different ways over time as that person is growing, their brain is developing, their body is developing. Are they keeping pace? Like, here are the numbers. I've got all kinds of performance numbers on junior golf, like where you should be at 12, where you should be at 8 compared to the other fish in the stream in terms of clubhead speed, in terms of scoring, in terms of depending. So anyway, this is what I call golf in context, instruction in context to that person's age. So the instruction is age appropriate. Educating the parent on what is realistic, how not to be a helicopter parent, how to basically be a really, really good supportive person and let your kid lead. You know, give them some tools, give them some space, mm-hmm. let them lead the direction rather than dragging them around and yelling. I've seen it all, man. I've seen parents yell at the kids from the cart path, and they're in a tournament and they're screaming at the kid because the kid whiffed a shot or the kid, you know, missed a green or whatever it is. And the parents, I understand. I've taught parents. I understand your frustration. You don't even play golf. You don't realize how difficult this is,
right.
Especially under pressure. And I get it. You're spending a lot of time. You're devoting all of your time. You're spending a lot of money, and you're not seeing this kid beat other kids yet. And I get it. That's you know, how long are you going to keep doing that? And so you have to educate them that this is. For me, I try to do this in the beginning when I meet mm-hmm. people. I let them know that this is what the road ahead looks like. This is That's what it great. Looks like financially. And if you're willing to do that, then I'm willing to try and help you. But you may want to go home. Sometimes they go home and they have a hard talk with the kid.
Right. Do they really want to do it? Yeah.
Yeah. They say, I'm not sure we really are up for this. Okay. Call me.
You'd rather find that out then than.
Oh, 100%.
Right.
100%. I will send you, I have this, actually most of this written down. I did a presentation for the PGA 2 years ago, and it has all my onboarding process. It has my analysis process. It's very simple. Boom, 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 boom. And it's great if you're a junior golf coach and you
would love it.
It tells you, these are the questions you need to ask up front. These are the things you want to know. And I don't know any other way to say this, but my world is different than most golf teachers' world. Mm-hmm. And when I talk about, I don't know anyone that's been really, really successful as a junior golfer that didn't have a lot of challenges to overcome. It's hard. And and if you're a trophy type parent, like a participation parent, it's not going to work.
No,
it's different. And people say, well, you know, kids shouldn't be working that hard. But we talk about specialization. I would be the first to say I want multi-sport athletes if you can get them. But
it's getting harder to find.
It's getting a lot harder to find because the competition is so intense now. I have 12. She was 12 years old, Rancho San Bernardo, final round in the Junior World Championship. Now it's par 73 course. She shoots 65. And that was at around 5,700 yards.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, it was one of the nicest rounds of golf I've ever watched. And I wasn't caddying. I was just watching, you know, you tell people that, okay, she's been playing golf for 4 years. Adolescence for 4 years. By the time she's in Harvard now, she went into Harvard in 2024. And I figured that she's had between the age of 6 and 16, 16 and a half, realistically between the age of 6 and 17, 1,000 hours of golf instruction and probably an equivalent amount in fitness lessons.
Wow. It takes a bit, right?
And she wrote damn near perfect score on her SAT and she's in Harvard and she's an international debate student.
Jeez.
So these kids are different and you know who I'm talking about, but the families are different. And I'm a great believer, like these kids are amazing. If I would always ask, you know, Adam, I would ask Michelle, are you having fun? Are you doing this because your dad wants you to do this? Or are you doing this because, no, I'm doing it for me. Okay, good. You're happy. You're active. Perfect.
Yep.
You know? And so, yeah. So anyway, the idea there is very simple. We've got the player. These are the skills that you should be developing. This is where the book is different. This is how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
The book has a reference to a YouTube video.
Oh, love it.
So you've got the verbal, you might have a few pictures, but you've also got the video.
Yes.
And the video, I go into the video clips will be probably no more than 3 minutes long. And they explain exactly why you do it this way, why your weight needs to be here, what effect it is even for like a chip shot. And so then it goes on to an app so that when they go with the kid, they can say, okay, here's our putting routine for now. And then you'll see, if you look at the putting routine for a 5 to 8 year old, and then now you're older, the challenges get greater. We make it more difficult. It's a massive kind of a project. My goal is to try and get a subscription online for this,
mm-hmm.
and not really expensive, but develop a relationship with the people that are paying for the subscription and say, well, by the way, where do you live? Well, I live in Georgia. Okay. Well, who are you seeing for a coach? And they have the same kind of content here,
right,
for coaches. So the coaches can be part of this community. They can contribute to it. They can put their videos on this website. And parents can look at it and say, you know, I like that guy. I think that's pretty good. So that's a good source of business,
right,
for these people. And that's, you know, I haven't got it all together yet, but I'm making pretty good progress on it. And
I'm going to share this. We have a Jackson Court and Justin Parsons, Wayne Flint, and myself have a golf coach development Instagram page that's a private group, but it's free for, you know, up and coming mentoring young coaches. And I'm going to send this podcast out to all of them and probably set up a time you can come talk to them on a Zoom. Also, we have almost 300 young coaches that are part of it. But you know,
wow,
fantastic information. Yeah. So first of all, happy new year. But second of all, thanks for sharing all your info and always being available to hop on the phone, and appreciate this and look forward to catch you. Are you going to the PGA show?
Now I'm really thinking seriously about it because of this project. I think I need to keep my relationships going with people and let them know what's going on. There seems to be a lot of support and a lot of interest.
Yeah, this would be great.
I appreciate your time too. So part of what I want to do is learning from you too is a podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do podcasts with people like Avery Zwig's dad and other parents who've gone through this journey, like, you know, or like,
yeah, that's great.
These are top 10 players in the AJGA, right? Mm-hmm. And have consistently been, they've won junior world championships and have them talk about the journey and to other parents. And then also great for coaches to listen to, junior coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And the problems that they've had with coaches and how they found the right coach and so forth. So I think that's something that we haven't seen.
No. And it's needed. It's needed more than ever. More than ever.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you a link to, I'm not a link, I'm going to send you an invite to my cocktail party and podcast taping at the PGA show. I'm always good for a cocktail at least, and some food. And if you go, please let's get together, and I'll let you know when this drops here in the next, it's going to go next Tuesday, but happy new year. Thanks for everything, Rob. I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate the opportunity.